It's a Ro Khan show right here on 720 WGN. In the studio is our private alderman. You know, I've got a private Blackhawk, I've got a private congressman, now we've got a private alderman. So if he's mine, he's yours. That's the way I want you to look at that. That's the most important thing. I just want to say, over near your ward, I don't think this is your ward anymore, but it used to be, the visuals are stunning of this, of the salt truck sliding into Lake Michigan early this morning on the lakefront, you know, salting that concrete area around Oak Street and the East Lake Shore Drive there as it turns south or north, depending on how you want to look at it. And it's really, you know, that's... I am always amazed, and I know that the city has to keep that on a slant because the water comes up onto it, and you want the water to drain back out into the lake and that because the concrete and all that.
Yep.
I understand it, but, you know, this, growing up in that neighborhood, in the mean streets of Streeterville, as I like to call it, that area on that slide between, you know, even with Oak Street to 1000 North and then all the way down to the Ohio Street Bridge.
Yeah.
Police cars have slid in over there.
Oh, sure.
Other vehicles, golf carts over the years.
Yeah, it's imperfect infrastructure, but it's designed that way for exactly the reason you said. They want the water to run off back into the lake, so it doesn't even become a bigger freezing hazard. But
right.
Yeah. It's difficult to do. Thank God, both of the park district employees are okay.
Yeah, they got right out.
Yeah,
thank God they got right out.
Thank goodness that could have really ended poorly. And so, thankfully, the only casualty here is a park district truck.
although it did look, it was pretty amazing as they're pulling the thing out of the lake and it's like dripping everywhere and it's salt, right? It was a salt truck. It was trying to salt to stop this from happening.
That's right.
So now I'm wondering what the salinization level of Lake Michigan is and will we hear from the nation of Canada that we have polluted the lake?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot more in that lake besides one truck. So I think that's probably just the cherry on top.
That is really, really, really true. All right. I want to just run down a couple of different things here, and then we'll pick it up on the other side after we check the traffic and the weather. But there's a couple things that are happening here around the city, Mr. Cass. Are you familiar with him, John Cass from the Chicago Tribune?
My good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Big fan of yours. He wrote today about the merit pay thing.
Yes.
With the Chicago Police Department.
Right.
Or the merit promotion. I'm sorry, not merit pay. Merit promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to figure out from a standpoint of a legislator, as you are, as an alderman, what is this going to make Chicago safer? Is it not going to make Chicago safer?
I think ending the practice of merit promotions, and just so your listeners are familiar, most of the promotions that occur at the police department are done via tests, but a percentage of promotions are reserved for merit, which means you just get picked and you don't have to necessarily have a great test score. It's a way for command staff to elevate people they trust, that kind of thing.
And as John Cass pointed out, and this is true, when the testing started in the Chicago Police Department for all that, and they wanted to create a command staff that was more racially and ethnically diverse,
right,
as the patrolman staff had become and the people that they lead had become. They did this because there were people who weren't testing as well.
That's right.
And they wanted to be able to make sure that there was sort of an equation there that worked.
That's right.
And so then that becomes the idea of racial merit promotion.
You know?
And that's, of course, in this town. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Alderman, but in this town, the issue of race pops up every now and then.
From time to time. Yeah.
And so does this then open the door? Now, Lori Lightfoot is the one who put her foot down on this, and some of it goes back to the increasingly confusing and seemingly sordid story of Eddie Johnson and the women and all of that.
Sure.
But one of the people involved in that is a lieutenant, I believe, who had received a merit promotion to lieutenant.
Right.
And the question is, how did that happen?
Yeah. I think that the system that they designed with merit promotions was intended just the way you described it. Unfortunately, in practice, I don't think it's really been used to balance out racial equity within the department. It's been used to reward friends.
Yeah.
And that has a negative impact on morale across the department, and I think that's why the mayor made that decision.
More on that coming up. But first, let's check on traffic and weather. Here is Jen DeSalvo. All right. Alderman Brendan Riley is with us from the city of Chicago. He's from the Fighting 42nd Ward, which is downtown. And he comes in. This is Wednesdays with Brendan. It was originally Tuesdays with Brendan, and then we got sued by the guy who did the whole Tuesdays with Maury thing, and that all had to end. Can I remind you right before, you know, now payoffs are illegal in City Hall, but they're not illegal in radio, Alderman. So keep listening after 5:30. This is an inducement. This might be a bribe. Your chance to win a $100 gift card to Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Celebrate New Year's Eve with burlesque flair at Four Winds Casino, featuring live entertainment, great dining, party favors, and a chance to win a share of $115,000. New winnings and new beginnings, and the best New Year's Eve event ever at Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Speaking of gambling, Alderman, I would like to ask you a question. January 1, right? Well, actually, it's already started, right? I mean, with the idea of legalized sports betting has already struck in the state of Illinois, mm-hmm. but we're not ready to kind of go up online with things.
Right.
And the casino, or casina, as it's called, by Willie Wilson here in Chicago, is not open yet. And that's going to be years and years and years away. But there are other sort of inducements, like, for example, when you go to... whether it's down to Guaranteed Rate or up to Wrigley Field, or you go to the United Center or Soldier Field next season, there are going to be gaming stations.
Right. That's right.
When does that begin?
I honestly don't know. Everyone's a bit
behind. Now, why does no one know that yet?
Well, obviously the gaming board dictates a lot of the timing and the hoops you have to jump through to get up and running. But
that's all been for those sporting facilities. Let's just start with them. Forget about the casino and the other places that are going to be doing this, or online, which is even more confusing because somehow Indiana was able to get up like that, right, to do their online and mobile betting and all that sort of stuff. And we haven't been able to figure that out. And we keep finding ourselves in the state of Illinois seemingly to be behind the curve. And I can't quite figure out whose fault that is.
When it comes to gaming, it's because there's so many diverse interests involved. And when you're trying to craft statewide gaming policy, everybody shows up at the table. And then it becomes a very unwieldy document. And there's lots of carve-outs and special exceptions and all this kind of stuff where all the lobbyists make money. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of it.
They got lobbyists in Indiana, too. Why is it not the same?
I don't. No, but that
what
is.
What would you guess?
But as long as I've been in this state, mm-hmm. and when I first moved here was to work in the legislature, mm-hmm. they've never been able to get a gaming bill done properly. They're constantly having to revise it, go back, try again. So the fact that they passed a gaming law a year ago to me is amazing. I was surprised it actually passed. What we've learned since is it's imperfect. As far as the rollout of those gaming positions at the stadiums, I'd assume that would be Q3 of 2020, but I'm not entirely sure. It depends.
So it'd be for the fall. You're assuming that when we get into baseball season, that the gaming positions won't be up at Wrigley and Guaranteed Rate?
They could. But to your point, I think a lot of that's driven by technology and whether they're able to actually get the thing installed and running properly.
Right. And then the online mobile stuff, too, because one of the things that has sparked all of this is not only the interest, but the success, business success, of micro gaming or micro gambling that they've seen in Europe, where you can actually bet on in Europe that the number one wagered sport in Europe. Now, you would think it would be soccer, right? Mm-hmm. Football. Mm-hmm. It's tennis.
Huh.
Because people bet in terms of numbers of bets, because people bet on serves. You can actually bet on a serve in tennis.
That's like betting on the coin toss at the
right.
Super Bowl.
Yes. Right. I mean, it's crazy. Are they going to, who's going to get the next point? Or is it going to, and you can do that. Now, in theory, you'll be able to do that. There will be wagering sites in America that will allow you to do that as well. If you're watching Monday Night Football, let's say, and are the 49ers going to make a first down on this possession? You'll be able to bet that.
Or are they going to make the field goal or miss the field goal? That kind of stuff. Huh. God, that's going to be terrible for people who are gambling addicts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the issue. Yeah. Well, all of Europe is a gambling addict, so it works out okay. All started in Asia, where it's just part of the culture, as they like to say.
Sure.
All right. So we don't know yet, and it's still going to be sitting out there, right?
That's right.
Okay. And the casino, we're no closer on that.
No, I think it's going to probably, there's some hope that perhaps in the last couple of days of veto session in the beginning of January, maybe something happens on the casino, but more likely that won't be addressed by the legislature until May, towards the end of legislative session.
Okay. Oh, and the way they scheduled that, because again, the lobbyists, everybody's jockeying for position on this.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And it's, is it the same four guys who are always jockeying for position?
It's those folks, but you know, really, the issue, the problem for the legislative leaders is that in order to make the fixes that the city and the state need for a Chicago casino to work, it's like reopening Pandora's box. Everyone else then wants to go in and tinker around with different parts of the legislation they didn't like, mm-hmm. or find ways to sweeten it for their particular interests. That's kind of the concern about reopening this thing. But I think the governor and obviously the mayor have acknowledged that change has to occur, or else the state doesn't realize a windfall in revenue.
Right, that's the whole point of this, wasn't it?
Yes, thankfully. The state
stated purpose?
Yeah, but thankfully the state and the city are you know, our interests are completely aligned on this because we both need that revenue.
Okay.
So the hope is that's the motivation to get this done by the end of legislative session this spring.
Now, on January 1st, we're going to get the marijuana legal here, too.
Yes, sir. It's coming.
Is that ready to go?
No. So where we're at right now, there was just a lottery held at City Hall. So all the folks that have medical marijuana licenses today were awarded an additional license by the state. And the city administered a lottery to determine who gets to pick locations and zones throughout the city to site their new recreational dispensary. So that's just occurred. Now those folks that have their lottery positions are out seeking potential locations to open up shops. In my ward, there are five different license holders who are looking at potential locations, primarily in River North. And
Fulton, and they have to exist within the boundaries that are set for downtown, right? Because that's a separate, there's a layover there.
That's right. There's an exclusion zone that prohibits these things in the Loop and in Streeterville, for example.
Don't say exclusion zone, because that's from Chernobyl. That's from that TV show Chernobyl. That always makes me think, like, we can't go in there.
Those are the mayor's words. We'll call it the no fun zone. The no fun zone.
She should see Chernobyl. She won't use it anymore, but go ahead.
Precludes the sale of marijuana in the Loop and in Streeterville and in Lakeshore East, but everywhere else in my ward is available. And obviously, these folks want to be closest to where the tourists are, mm-hmm. which makes River North the prime location for them, given that they can't locate in the Loop.
And there's real estate available because it's basically a retail issue
that's
going
right.
on here. Retail stores are closing like crazy throughout America.
This will fill up some retail storefrontage for sure. There is a restriction in place. You can't have two of these dispensaries within 1,500 feet of one another. And so
pretty small, though.
Well, but when you look at the geography in my ward, for example, 1,500 feet, it becomes a little difficult. It's like squeezing a balloon.
That's five football fields, essentially.
Yeah, it's and you know, in River North, where all these folks want to be, suddenly that map shrinks dramatically on where you can actually put these things without there being that 1,500 foot overlap. So it is a bit complicated. But they're all seeking leases now. Then they'll have to go through the Zoning Board of Appeals to get a special use that allows them to open and sell marijuana recreationally. A lot of those proceedings will occur in December and January. My guess is the industry is going to be probably 4 or 5 months behind in the city of Chicago, and that's if they really rush to get building permits and build out their spaces.
But the places that are existing medical marijuana dispensaries go full public at that point.
That's correct. They can serve medical patients as well as members of the public for recreational use. So those will convert automatically. The problem we're seeing with the existing medical dispensaries is that they were built for medical and a limited roster of patients.
And with all kinds of restrictions on actually how you passage your way through those buildings,
right?
There's a series of places where you stop for security check, and there's other...
There's like a holding room.
Yeah.
And they buzz you in one at a time to go and do your selecting and these sorts of things. They will all become recreational January 1, but they're not going to have the kind of capacity you need within the structure itself to serve all those brand new customers. And they can't expand those without a zoning change. So it's a little complicated, but my guess is the industry will be out selling recreational marijuana probably April or May of 2020. in the new facilities.
You know, you guys, you got, well, not you guys, but the state legislature sold us on fun, and there's no fun to be had. That is just all I'm telling you right now. And it's, I don't understand it, Alderman. I know it's not your fault, but I will say this. I know you're the president pro tem of the city council, and you spend a lot of time with Lori Lightfoot, and you're a supporter of hers. Mm-hmm. I hear it from a lot of people who are city residents, and also people just watching from the suburbs. People are impressed.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with her.
She seems to be taking no prisoners. And places where they're always afraid to take a prisoner, we're going to find out if that actually works. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks
Alderman
for
Brendan
me,
Riley from the Fighting 42nd. Really Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
All right. The news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is coming your way in just about 2 minutes.